make my caged brother sing? Why he fertilized the air with his sweet vile song? Why he throws his liquid trumpet and rags his throat with saxophone? Why he scores his arm with biographies of blues? Why he weaves the streets of these plantations with brilliant corners of dark harmony? Make upright love on the piano bone of his midnight mare, and his love I found on the road. Why my brother, with ear clipped to the doorpost, his arm crying like a harp, his blues walking like a man, his reed shrill hum dancing on his fruited rib, singing. Say, my black name like a gospel, my black name full. A Sunday summer supper bell, black name country wild and deep as well. I am the crow in the distance, and the distance. I am the black sharp wing that cut the change, this white boy say can't change. I'm the hungry. Who orchestrates pain? I am ten of madness. I am the phone that slips between the ribs. I am the tune to the bone. I am the drum, I do as the drums do. I beat no more, no more, no more. Why he hang out on trees? Why he hang out on corners? Why he hang out on needles? What make him sing? Who do he see to assassinate with his sweet, vile song? Poem for Uncle Buddy. They say, of this wild one, it was news to no one who'd seen him sip a cigarette in oxygen from a plastic cup, rattling air into his lungs like a spoon across a scrub board while playing cards from his bed. To no one who'd seen him spit and hack a lump of laughter into a rag or into the spot of sun by the broom. The laugh, they say, was in the end. His request for a peach, a slice of melon, brightest memory. With seeds black and scattered as his few teeth and his pink blood. And in the wish for a vague young ghost who snagged a hook-blade knife in the blues barrel throat of a country tough, then left him drowning in a stain in the road. He dreamed of a train caught by the coat, his cap turned back within the blinds, and of a snuff-jawed law keening behind careening hounds in a cotton-eyed town treed in the moon. The laugh, at last, was in the end. He died where he didn't want to be. East of the Mississippi River and west of a preaching, sly, backslid sister like a sandwich in a flood. Flannel in a boundless, wild yard called the country, staring undetected into a hard-boiled blue eye that connected by a garter snake to a socket in the room he paid the bill behind the garage in the rent. Photograph. Junebug. He comes skinning down the steps, puffing and blowing through cut lips about how we turn to join up, me and Billy and Kenneth, taking off his clothes, falling onto the rollaway bed, tumbling off to sleep. Us kids stoop between his dreaming and the couch, wondering what he used his mouth, popping firecrackers under his head, and he didn't move a nerve, dreaming, I suppose, about something he knew. Something that he heard. Another photograph. This is a photograph from the Middle Passage. Our hearts are snared like rabbits. For some the bravest, and some from fear flung hard against caged breasts like wild enraged things. Besting courage and fear against persistent flesh. There was a unity in that. They died a happy death. Some leaped singing into the water. Some held their breath. Some turned and risked their chains to the dark blood pool. But those who would live but died. Some strangled on the cries of their families. Some sighed off asleep with hearts dismembered. Some were killed outright. Some were later taken by disease. We who clung to death, hoping for life, after the faces of our kin and fellowship of our villages, missed first our deep skies and forests, then the conversation of our ancestors. We learned to hate our bodies and the workings of our bodies. For we lay daily in our filth, many with rectum plugs against the flux to prevent spilling the intestine. Next we hated ourselves, for we were made strangers. We were made children. No, we were made that thing before children that becomes children. And when they come down to feed us, we looked on them with a hatred that could only be called love. And a love that could only be called horror. And cradling seaward to a bastard's birth, our breath planked down on us like steamy hanks, and our hearts could not see God. He was fast. He was the fastest ear west. Faster than Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri line. Faster than New York City. He was faster than the horizon. He was the fastest ear west of the Mississippi. Faster than crawdad, faster than lightning's cone. He was fast. Faster than belly rub could slow drag. Faster than heroin excitement could drug. Faster, faster than your baby's love could come down is good. Yeah, even faster than his own fingers could whittle harmony and alter melody. So fast. Jitterbugs walk. Moons constellated under his breath. Hummingbirds stuttered. Love pitched its tent and was found when he played unlonesome, unlonesome, unlonesome blue. He was faster than money could buy. The June bugs knew. Yeah, June bugs knew. A love poem. And love is as beautiful a word as God is. God is love. You learn it in grade school. Anyway, I cursed somebody the other day and I said, God on you. You know, God on you. And there it was. And love is as beautiful as that. So a love poem is always a curse because it's so intensely fascinated. Anyway, the Mississippi River poem. The river stopped down from your house, from your hump of country heaven, past East St. Louis. Stopped down its flowing foot from your house, all the way to town. Before your mama's mama, before your daddy's, before the whole generation ever thought to be born, or buried, or be at home. It stepped out the kitchen door with shells quivering in its footprint. Like a long wet dog, it slowed up down past the grapevine. past the shed, past the coop, under the clothesline, past your mama's garden, past where you girls go, past where you poke your knife in the ground, past where you tumbled alone and learned to be hurt by your own good, down past the drainage in the creek. When it appeared into the woods, nobody heard the splash of its dirt red grin. Nobody saw it. You didn't laugh at the catfish in its teeth. You didn't hunt mushrooms and you didn't drown. The river left on before your mama put the jelly in, before the generation got a toehold, before they funk your basement like an ark in the hill, before the turtles crawled in, before the fossil of your girlhood ghost went to bed. It didn't go by the road it traveled like. This was before it joined the circus, before it learned to pack houses on its back, or snail tugs, or trains, or catch divers from a bridge. Before it ran here from Chicago, sang the blues in Como, then disappeared into its suitcase down at the Gulf of Mexico. It kissed moon white titties, shook night's black thighs, took Frank and Jesse for his wife, hit a storm in the hollow of his tooth, stunned the beat, played his laughter close to his cheeks, and nailed a note in your backyard. It said, I don't know what it said. If you was a butterfly, I would press you between pages of a book. If you was a waterer, I wouldn't let you run away with the rest. Since you a woman, I just press you between cobbles and puddle in your name and make your backbone moan, and like that. You know how I could talk, serve shit on the handshake. Would open all your doors, woman, and windows let your love flow out, and need a flesh just singing on the bone. Get drunk on your tickling teeth, undo your notion, roll you with my river roll motion till you was river hip, stain your clothes, then ooze out through the keyhole in your door. It blowed once in the ear of a girl in Memphis, a Beale Street girl. Something I thought I heard Buddy Bolden say. Just 16 years old, a childish way, but you're already sitting on the petty cash box. Here, I was the first circling copper found, blown round the freckled farm, the first seed-shaped drop in the earth-spinning earth, the first seed-time whisper through the platy granary door. The yeasty word pearled and droned in the lonely moon. I was the first powder spill mixed in the mud. The dew on the foot in the wheeling heavens. And the first drum drummed on the palm of her quickening ears. And I drummed and I drummed from her sun up to the moon down. Then I spilled from her full anvil. Took stone for shoulder, stone for elbow, stone for hip joint, stone for knees and ankles, and I danced. And my bones beat and sounded and clattered like plowshares on an anvil. And I bounded and I wailed and I laughed. I was a jackal. I was the first surf man I know. I left home. This was before your father rode his first old Scutman Chevrolet up the hill, before the snail shell forgot its address, before you held your breath in your backyard's woods and wondered if you could make a stand. The river left home and you drowned on track.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go marching song. Okay. And it has a refrain that I swiped from Roget's thesaurus. It goes like this. We shrouded the sea. The beaches twittered. We trampled the beaches. The provinces woke. We butchered the provinces. The capital bleated. We sacked the capital. The embassies protested. For God, heaven, goodness, mercy sake. We cut down the workers. The women bled. We strangled the women. The children howled. We drowned the children. The puppies whimpered. We burned the soldiers. The captains raved. We tortured the captains. The generals broke. We hanged the generals. The president bellowed, for God's heavens, goodness, mercy, sake. We blasted the jungle. The fields lay down. We gutted the fields. The cities shrieked. We raped the cities. The rivers wept. We poisoned the rivers. The sea whined in her bed. For God's heaven's goodness, mercy,
sake. Can you do that?
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Okay. I like stealing things from various sources. This is from Girly Magazines, which is one of my favorite things. It's mainly patched together out of the advertisements in the back. I'm thinking of a very frustrated and familiar man who's called he in this poem so that nobody can feel embarrassed. title is Some of the Shots Will Make You Gasp Aloud. He sits in the window grinding his groin with his horny fist, leafing through batches of Lust and Snatch, The Naked Mother. Lame Angel has exhausted the tireless go-go girls. He is learning to read. How just in days you can acquire the hidden secrets of 5,000 years of ruthless terror. From the merciless Nahuatian Indians to the foot fighters of the French underworld. Free, 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 free. Try the fantastic French extension. Flips open instantly and locks automatically to prevent accidental closing. Razor sharp, tough, stainless, over 200 pages on the pleasures of pain. If you read the right book. It all depends on what you've been reading. If you've been reading the Post-Dispatch or something, you're not going to find that stuff. At this point, let me read a poem dedicated to my son who's hiding somewhere. It's called Interview with a Winner. And it came out of another magazine, Sports Illustrated, which I read rarely. What was it like? Like losing. Same bloody feet. Blazing tendons, same sweet release, melancholia of exhaustion. What did you win? A chance. For what? To do it again. That wasn't it either. What did you get? Through. What's left for you? Tomorrow's race. Losing is worse. I wanted to read a batch of poems that I've been working on fairly recently, which is always a mistake. I've been trying to build a character. I didn't know his history for a long time. His name is the Detachable Man. And as I'm beginning to understand his early history, when I was born, I was actually a twin. I didn't realize it until very recently. And this is the other head. He's loaded up. And that's the only explanation I have for it. I have a poem. This is called On the Morning of His Nativity. Loosing his final stage, the detachable baby rose like an unguided missile over the city, affording father one easy lesson in blind flying, who shortly flew the coop himself, divorcing the beast with two backs neatly, as you might part a paper match, easing a thumbnail in its foot. Father groped the secretary. The fibers of his newborn foreparts trembled blindly like antennae. Reaching into the cradle, mother fished me out like an afterbirth and clapped me mewling to her breast. High in his unsteady orbit, tumbling among the lunar garbage, the baby heard and rejoiced. Which is to say, my twin, my detachable shadow, vagrant frere, Tweedledee unbound. After eons in orbit, he's come to rest in a railroad flat in the Dutch East 80s over Kaiser's butcher shop, incognito. No one has seen the faint rebirth mark on his heel where he cut himself loose. We keep, so to speak, in touch. Dead leaves. He walks to the window, can't sit still, watches three starlings in the ginkgo playing dead leaves. Downstairs in the butcher shop, the chop, chop of the chopping block parts the thread of his reverie. On his toes, like a cat or a pig, he migrates to the fridge for a can of Rheingold. Over the oven, up to its neck in a calendar, a thumbtack dreams the dance of seven veils. Its head squats on a silver salver, smug as a slug in a blind man's bowl. I should say at this point that these poems are in some way dedicated to New York, which is my hometown. I called it in another poem, The Apple Rotting Below the Horizon, to Garbage City, New Jeopardy, East Gangrene, where I come from. So that's my only introduction as far as that's concerned. I'm sorry to be reading in St. Louis this ode to the sinking city. This is called Even Song. He is pruning his nails with the tin shears. He never trims the same nail twice. On the Prussian blue formica field, nine horned moons lie fallen when he beholds on the back of the cracker box the legend, cut a long dotted line and say. Working the blade of his penknife between his crepe sole and the glow coat, he can think of no one more worth saving. Outside, a leaf springs from the ginkgo's wrist, to which it has been clinging by one thumb, twirls and curtsies to the pavement, and takes the first gust west toward Central Park. The sun drops into the slavering jaws of New Jersey, like a sugar cookie. Let me break that up with a poem just to turn my head around a little. If I can find it now. It's a poem called Building a Head. I just finished it for the eighth time today, and it just occurred to me that I'd kind of like to do it. It takes a little help, I'm hoping that JB can give me The image I'm building on here is that of a steam calliope. So when I say building a head, you can figure out for yourself whether it means a head of steam or some other kinds of heads. Anyway, it's just an attempt to try to explain how long it takes me to build up to do one of these things. Oh, that's nice. Nice. Sometimes I hold my breath for days, building a head of steam to drive my cold calliope. Sometimes I pant like a bloodhound under an August porch. From the tiniest pipe, a whisper spills, thin as a spent match. The name of the wind that scatters my breath is hope. Splinter, he'd like to join the party. Senator from the state of dislocation. Overhead, the ayes and yeas begin to polka. Gorged to the teeth on the bonbons of levity, his infinitesimal pressure against history, faint as starlight thrumming the hairs on the general's wrist, by the diversions of dust undone, by the transports of swans down, imperceptible man ascends in a cloud of apologies, bobs through the flotsam and fetches up on a kitchen chair by the anchovies. A mermaid stoops to inquire, "What do you do?" "I do with," he smiles. "I do without. I feed on air like an orchid. Pale as sea grapes, her baubles dangle in the weedy shadow." Actually, I won't read this one, but I do explain finally that the way he does make his living is that he makes change in the subway and down under Wall Street, where he belongs. This is called Pas de Deux. Sunday evening, blinking in the window, disengaged, a vagrant year, he attends the ginkgo's shy quadrille with her shadow. On their yard square, turd bespangled dancing floor, by the relentless heroism of his solitude almost undone, he anatomizes the enchantments of marriage, the witcheries of wedlock, watching the matrons strolling their Dobermans, a detachment of semi-detachable women. He considers breaking off a piece for himself. He ponders the frolics of Congress, the raptures of coupling, the beatitudes of latch and chain, of pin and screw, hoodoos and abracadabras. He feels the tug of the phantom cord. Downstairs, the butcher hefts a pound of fresh brown flesh, smiling like the moon over Berchtesgaden. I conceive of the detachable man as living in Yorkville, which is the East 80s in New York City, which was a fairly nasty hotbed of Nazis during the Second World War. They kept being pressed down. So it's just the perfect place for him to sit around. But he actually was born in the Bronx. And when he goes back to the Bronx, he discovers it's changed. This is a poem called Pilgrimage. The dismembered man returns to visit the stump. He wonders whether the body politic still aches in the phantom limb. It has healed remarkably well. Where the fruit man once waxed apples, a laundromat flourishes. Upstairs, in all the fragrant cells, the Puerto Ricanos are bearing fruit. In the steamy bush, a macaw screams. But however, he doesn't stay long. Never for long is the name of this one. The prodigal man returns and returns. Never for long. The roast gives out. The restless eyes that snag his sleeve with little blue hooks. The fingers soft as slugs. The sodden Kleenex and the piano scarf conspire to detain him. But stuffed like a goose, he leaps to his feet, tearing free, and flaps out the window, honking high over Yankee Stadium. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know why this happened. This is just almost the last thing to happen to the poor fellow. I haven't been able to get him fully out of it. He does begin to recuperate in the last couple of short poems, as you'll see. But this is what I got him into that I'm going to have to get him out of now. It's called Till the Doctor Comes. Keep still, rasps the cop, like a 6-foot school arm, planting one meat hook on his clavicle, drives B-Man into the pavement. The white-eyed boy who knelt beside him, probing his wound in the star-struck alley, shudders now in the park by a drinking fountain, washing the blood from his billfold, while the cop contemplates a pool of raspberry syrup creeping from one hip pocket, where the proceeds of a Saturday night special linger, nuzzling his holy bone. In dreams, running through honey, groaning up stairwells, hand over hand, along greasy railings, through pastures of glue, eluding battalions of shadow, after cloudy vulvas, wide and untouchable as the horizon, his legs have staunchly churned, which now lie preternaturally calm, though his arms dance the fandango, and his head bobbles on its string, a lunatic balloon. Keep still, the cop hisses. He would if he could. He has managed for 60-odd years to keep off the grass, out of harm's way, his hand in, his eye on the apple, his nose clean, not to mention his word and his cool. For 60 springs and 60 falls, he has kept away from, down to, up and on, but never still.
Big leg woman,
Why you could tell me falling, calling cutter cutting bowling. That black Buddy Bolden, who played New Orleans blues for real, who say, shake your ass to the brass, I'm Buddy Bolden, who talks bad. Who plays the pimps and them, who say, I'm Buddy Bolden, I'm king. In Lincoln Park, it's me they come to see. Play for happy, play for sad, birth, death, day, and boogie in the dark.
He held me by the throat.
squealed and gave a long high howl, like my brother's coyote and wolf. But I knew myself a circus dog, who chased a painted ball like the moon. I whimpered and my fire went out, and I knew there was no death passes. The life compacting on his radiance like a star sweeping up his dust and going home to eternity. I heard the fat and gristle sizzle. He ate a haunch, a piece of breast, and I knew he was an animal. A dog can grow on four legs or two, but a good dog is a few. This is one of my favorite poems because I think it speaks to everybody. But before it speaks to everybody, it speaks to poets, and it speaks to black poets, and it speaks to poets, and it speaks to people about what they're doing. And so I made up a character, and I called him Pettyball. And he only lasted for a minute long enough for me to make a couple of comments on it. But here we go anyway. Oh, Pettyball, Englishman from Tupelo. Armored bear of tweeds and dog's tooth, dreamer of proof-rock death with a sea-stubbed foot and snarls muzzled in a peach. Old Pettybone, head shaped like Africa, old ruly beard and thickled afro, farm without continent, Circe Anglican in a drunken boat, Odysseus from round the bend. O Pettybone, voyager, unraveler of secrets no one wants to know, worker of roots and footnotes, Pettybone of the knotted hieroglyphic brow, dreamer of fair draws and sputtering beards. Admit it, ain't it a bitch? Here's the poem. Called The Trumpet in the Morning, and whenever I think of it, I think of a friend of mine named Curtis Lyle. And it is me getting all over in Curtis's business and enjoying him a lot and liking it. It's a song that I always think of Curtis as kind of a holy man, so I had a good time with it. You can bury me in the east. You can bury me in the west. I'm going to rise up and be a trumpet in the morning. Because I've been bent in the forge, been struck by the hammer, been scorched by fire. So I'll be a trumpet this morning. Oh, don't touch my shoes. Oh, let them shine, let them shine. I've been all night to do. John revelated in the marshy bottoms. Lazarus in the crook of a willow. Whittled a gospel bow from that simple reed. Launched that skiff in the spittle of a mule's jaw. Gouged the sky phone from the black giant's side. And shackled it to a cotton flower. Oh, I done faded all my sorrows. Oh, these is lotion shoes, all bright with dew. And I feels like Noah riding these ankle boats on God's stony waters. And I feels like doves in my earlobes fetching freedom sound in a single green leaf from dry land. Feels like glory walking in the blue. 10 fingers, ten centipedal toes trebling jubilee from an acoustic crotch. I say, steel and catgut, I say, I feel unstrung like a broken guitar, but I'll be a trumpet soon this morning. Oh, don't touch my clothes. I'm gonna sit on a rainbow seat. Oh, my wings just sprouted out, and I feel Oh, and I've been overmatched by my salvation. Done broke the rock of living waters and found a home in that watershed. Done looped this promise harness round my shoulders. Don't touch my clothes. Cause I'm a thin, bright, standing pack. J.B. Stetson hat, initials carved in the back of my shirt, umbrella in Hallelujah's man, and Jack of Diamond hard to play. Got one eye to see and one to believe, a hellhound on my breath, a crossroad in my breast, a stone in my pathway. I'm accelerating and I feel like whiskey talking rock. Oh, I feel like blowing my lonesome horn this morning, cause I woke up this morning. More than something on my mind. Holy Ghost shining down, it ain't nothing but love, nothing but love. Oh, I feel so injected this morning, so strung out. Just a whole Sahara of loving's what I'm talking about. Like a flaming desert flower feels like I'm sipping in the sand. Now tell me, did you ever, ever, ever see a possum at rehearsal or a raccoon steal away? Now watch me steal away. I got a feeling deep down I'll be a trumpet soon in the morning. Be a trumpet soon in the morning.
Oh,
this is the blues death centennial year. It's a gross thing to say, but this year both Jimmy Reed and Howlin' Wolf, Chester Arthur Burnett, the assassination of the blues president by death, you know? But anyway, I have this poem that speaks from that tradition. And from that place, another character I invented. This is the little bitty boy with the derby on. This is who was here when you was gone. It was the black mule. And so this is the black mule leave the party. This lady, she come up to me, her shirt tail, her hair dragging like a cheese cola, wagging her ass, coming out of her blase, saying about John Lee B.B. Muddy, woof, woo, wasn't he, isn't he? A fine rural urban chick, Congo blues, strum, strum, brr. I mean, couldn't he pick the devil's box like picking June bug, black hot lightning bug, off bitch summer, shimmering horny? I mean, strong nightmare in the dream. I mean, make midnight show his teeth. I mean, run 10 tuneful fingers over the fretting and slacking your life and harmonize you. Make you feel that the blues must have been your mama's back door man and left her breast bursting with nappy-headed juju solos and gree-gree jazz. Yeah. Every time you lay jet mojo hands, kneel and conjure fingers on that sharp rhythm of name. My mother's quakes in the dewy and sweats sticky black pearls. Black mule adjusting the pork pie helmet on his pigmy in his pocket, replied, ask the greedy mouth in a Selma arm, ask the gold snail swimming big brasses, ask a wino puking consumptive sermon in a sanctified fit, ask Texas, ask for them to ask your mama. I think I hear that wild ox moan. He went on home. This is a poem poem. This is pure poem. It's a chestnut, but it's called Oh When You Come. Oh when you come, come softly, sweet reaper, come sweetly. Oh when you come, come swiftly, swift reaper. This is the way. Oh when you cut, cut quickly, quick reaper. I am all here. Oh, if you change, change seasons, green reaper. It's not early. Oh, when you come, come conscious, dream reaper. remembering that you are and I am, each of us, only one, change freedoms. Oh, when you come, come soon. Come laughing, come whole. Come rain, come brightly, come earthquake. Come coatless, come crazy, come broke. Come walking, come borrowed, come stolen. Come winded, come wound up, come wild-eyed. Become loving, sweet me, become loving. And this is a poem for all the black cowboys and cowboys. It's about Cherokee Bill, who had a certain beauty about him. And this is my self-indulgent poem. Cherokee Bill. I gave up ricocheting for getaways. I ain't at home on the range. I ain't never met the man's horse. The long prairie ain't got no lean on my bones. I got a great-grandmother 100% Indian, guaranteed. Out of Natchez or somewhere in Mississippi. Another one at least a half, and an aunt with cheekbones like a moose. I can't stand buffalo snoring and cows dropping yodels get my goat. Besides, who don't